You want a shot at playing in late October. You got to start talking now.
He leaps in the air, makes the throw to first to complete the double play.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff is on 940 Wins. Miami Sports.
All right, we're back Monday, February 6th, and you're listening to the best of the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. I'm Kyle Seeloff with you from inside the 940 Winds Miami Sports Studios this evening, and a fun hour coming your way. Four interviews tonight, all of which you've heard before, and if you haven't, here's your chance. Portions of our interviews this evening with Christian Yelich, newcomers Brad Ziegler and A.J. Ellis, and one of the newest members of the Fox Sports Florida team in 2017, Todd Hollinsworth, all coming your way over the course of the next hour tonight. But before we get into any of these said conversations, it's a big week not only for the Marlins, but for you, the fans, as well, this Saturday and Sunday, 12 to 4 at Marlins Park. It's the annual Fan Fest. Free to the public, an absolute blast. We look forward to it. Come on out and join us both days. Again, 12 to 4 Saturday and Sunday. Live entertainment, autograph sessions, all of your favorite players and alumni will be in attendance. One of the biggest select-a-seat opportunities of the year. Learn how to guarantee yourself access to the All-Star Game on Saturday and Sunday. And single-game tickets for the World Baseball Classic and the regular season will go on sale Saturday and Sunday. In addition, a lot of airtime this weekend into early next week. Glenn Geffner and I will join you from the West Plaza at Marlins Park from 12 to 2 on Sunday, and we'll back that up Monday morning with a morning hot stove show from Crandon Park at Key Biscayne. That's where Jack McKeon is holding his celebrity golf tournament, and we'll be on the air from 10 to 12, so make sure you join us for that. So a big weekend. Football is over. The Super Bowl is in the books. Baseball is starting. Pitchers and catchers report next Tuesday, February 14th. Position players report 3 days following on Friday. And we are on the air for the first time in 2017 on March 26th from Roger Dean Stadium. Okay, to our first best of interview tonight. This is Christian Yelich from earlier in the hot stove season chatting about his World Baseball Classic invite and what to expect in 2017.
I appreciate the congratulations, but I honestly didn't think I'd ever win any of those awards, you know, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, you know, they're just, you know, prestigious awards. And growing up, you know, you always thought it'd be cool, but obviously it's really hard to do and something that I'm proud of and a lot of people helped me along the way.
Hey, before we dive into too much baseball, how's the offseason been going and what have you been up to?
It's been good. Just hanging out, working out, getting ready to do it all over again. Going to some weddings, take vacations, hanging out, and, you know, getting ready to head back soon.
I believe you had a chance to see the best to ever do it right from the sidelines. I know you're a big Patriots guy. You got to see Tom Brady, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Went to Boston a couple weeks ago and got to take it in. You know, Boston's a great sports town, great sports city, and it was kind of cool to check it out and, you know, be able to watch him play in person.
Did you know any of the guys? Did you get to meet Tom, any of the guys?
No, I mean, you know how the game day thing kind of works. You kind of stay out of it and, you know, let them do their thing. And it was just cool to, go watch and, just check it out from in person.
Any football in Christian Yelich's background on your end, or was it primarily baseball growing up?
Primarily baseball. I played a little bit, growing up and just baseball though. Once I got to high school, I played football, you know, Pop Warner, whatever that is, you know, growing up. But I decided to stick with baseball in high school.
All right, the big question, were you a part of the Fantasy Football League in the clubhouse? We chatted with Tom Kohler last week who said Miguel Rojas has won, and he hasn't stopped talking about it since he won. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I was. It's kind of beginner's luck for Miggy. Just the first year, he did it. It was him, Dustin, and Prado. And they won. They got lucky, and he beat Tom. He beat Tom in the championship, which – it's probably a good thing because Tom would have been talking just as much as Miggy has been. He's kind of playing it off how Miggy's running his mouth. But Tom would have been doing the exact same thing if he won. And I won the year before. And I let everybody know and had the trophy on my locker last year. So it's a good fun and something we enjoy doing every year.
Yeah, Tom was a little bitter. He was like, Miguel only knew about three NFL players. So he's not happy about it. But Christian, congratulations. I know you'll be representing Team USA in the World Baseball Classic in March. Who called you with that invite, and how excited are you to put on that jersey and play?
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's something that I wanted to do, especially since it's coming to Marlins Park, which will be really cool. That'll be the first time I played on a USA team. You know, never was able to make it in high school, and didn't go to college, so I didn't have the chance to play on a collegiate team. And this will be my first USA team, USA jersey, and something that's going to be pretty special. And I'm excited to play with the group of guys that we have, and you know, hopefully we can win it all.
How do you get that invite? Is it Joe Torre that calls you? Is it the manager that calls you? How does that process come about?
Both those guys. Joe called me, wow. And Jim called me as well, and asked if I'd do it, and I told him I would, and something that I didn't even hesitate to think about. I just wanted to do it right away.
Well, that's funny you mention that, because I do know that there is some hesitation for many players. You play early in spring. Some guys do worry about getting injured, potentially missing time with their big league club. Was it a hard decision for you or not at all?
Not at all. I think it's just one of those things where you got to probably prepare a little bit earlier in the offseason, maybe start hitting and throwing a little bit sooner than you normally would. And I think it's probably a bigger deal for pitchers than it is position players. You know, they have their pitch counts and they throw so many innings already during the season. That's probably a little tougher on them, but myself as a position player, it's really just about getting yourself in game shape a little bit sooner, which is tough. I mean, you got to do some things different in the off season, but it's something, like I said, that I really wanted to do and was passionate about, so it wasn't a big deal to me.
Yeah, speaking of that passion, and I'm sure you've watched it from afar, I mean, it's not a lackadaisical event. If you're playing for your country, whether it's USA or the Dominican or the Puerto Rican team or whatever it may be, it is all out, we're going to go win this thing for our country.
Right, and I wanted to be a part of that atmosphere and that experience with the group of guys that we got going for Team USA, and like I said, I'm really excited about it and looking forward to, you know, kicking it off in Marlins Park in early March.
Let's switch gears a little bit, chat about your 2016 season. Okay, in what areas did you see your game grow, and what part of your game are you looking to most improve on in 2017?
Oh, improvements, I think, was the obvious places as far as, you know, RBIs and home runs and stuff like that, and trying to kind of carry that into to next year as well, stay on top of the things that we worked on and, you know, some of the little tweaks we made. And as far as improvements, you know, you just want to stay consistent and all that. Maybe cut down on a few strikeouts, but really the biggest thing is staying healthy. I think if stay on the field, that kind of helps you stay in the rhythm of the season a little bit, and you don't really have to go on those rehab assignments and battle back from injuries and stuff like that.
I'm sure fans and folks that enjoy baseball know that for you big leaguers, I mean, it's a 12-month job, although you play 6 months out of the year. In the offseason, how do you go about working out so mentally and physically you don't exhaust yourself come even spring training for that matter?
Yeah, I think it takes a couple off seasons to kind of get a routine and find something that you're comfortable with. And it's different for every guy, so you kind of got to tweak it and find something that you like, and I think I got a good system down right now and some that I've used the last couple of years and have me feeling ready going into spring training. And you kind of just try and maintain your body, stay healthy. If anything's kind of bothering you after the year, you get taken care of, and you know, just try and be the best you can going into the next year.
Marlins outfielder Christian Yelich joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove. So, Yelich, you know, Don Mattingly is frequently asked and usually asked amidst a streak of yours in which you're hitting for some power, if he foresees you as a guy that'll, through time, hit a bunch of home runs. And he says yes. He often says you remind him a little bit of himself. But have you felt your power is and has been gradually coming as you learn more about the league the more you play?
Yeah, I think it's learning about the league, learning about yourself, your swing, pitches and counts you can do things in, and all that takes time and a lot of hard work and working with guys like Donnie and Frank and Barry last year, and just staying on top of it. And you're always trying to get better and improve yourself as a player. And it's one of those things that in spring, you work on it in spring training, you take it in the off season, you work on it during the season. It's like you said, it's a 6 month season, but it's a 12-month job, and you know, you're always working to improve.
How valuable has Don Mattingly been to you, Christian?
Yeah, I love playing for Donnie last year. He's helped out a lot. I mean, he was a great player. So anytime you have a question, you can go to him. And like you said, I feel like we're similar in certain aspects of the game, and both of us being left-handed, and it's great to just, if you have a question as a young player, you can go to him, and it makes it easier. And we had a tough year, like you said, like everybody knows, last year, and we were able to kind of get through that together, and hopefully we can have a good second year together.
Yeah, obviously a very, very tough end of the season, Christian, with the passing of Jose. With that being said, how excited are you right now just to get back with your teammates in Jupiter in a couple of weeks? Maybe even more so this year. Would that be true?
Yeah, spring training is exciting every year, and I think there's a little bit of unknown kind of going into this one, or because of how we all left off and,
sure.
and what it's going to be like down there. The first couple weeks of March or in February when we do the caravan week, and it's going to be different, man. It's going to be difficult, and we kind of just gotta see how it goes and feel it through, but. Just like we did last year, we got through that, and we'll get through this together as well.
Yeah, we sure will. Christian, hoping you might be able to provide a little insight for us with some of the newcomers. What can you tell us from you facing them about Edinson Volquez and Jeff Locke? I know you hit against both of them before.
Yeah, they're good pitchers to go out there, and, they can pitch. And, that's what we need. We need you guys to, be able to go out and get outs for us. They got good sinkers, both of them, and go out there and, just give us a chance to win every night is really all we can ask for. And, Ziegler is a really good ground ball pitcher. He's one of the tougher relievers in the game, to square up because the ball moves so late and he keeps it down really well. And, we're looking forward to having those guys.
Speaking of Ziegler, I know you haven't faced Junichi Tozawa. You have faced Ziegler. You just mentioned him. What does make him so good and difficult to hit? I'm sure it's the movement, but how hard is it to hit against a guy with that arm slot, with that delivery off a mound, something you don't see? It's very unorthodox.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of late movement, and it keeps the ball down really well. It's hard to really square a guy like that up, and I haven't had any success. I don't think I have any hits off him. He's one of the tougher guys, like I said, and so it's going to be good to have him on our side. And, don't let the radar gun fool you. It only says usually 84, 86, but, it's the late movement and the deception that really makes it tough.
A couple more questions for Marlins outfielder Christian Yelich here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Yelly, I know there's a lot of optimism. We're in the middle of January. I know how this goes, but I've got to ask you, and you've been with the organization now for some years at the big league level, how close do you feel you and your teammates are to competing for a championship?
We'll see. I think we need a lot of things to go right for us, and we need guys to stay healthy. And then we have a shot. Everybody has a shot in spring training, and like I said, it's going to come down to those things of health, guys having good years, and we'll see where we're at.
On the way out the door here, Yelly, can you shed some insight for us on how much Ichiro means to this organization, to this ball club, and how much you have personally learned from one of the greats?
Yeah, he's a great guy and someone that I've really enjoyed playing with and watching him hit all these milestones that he's hit in the last couple of years with us, and glad that he's able to make us a part of that. And it's just been cool to watch one of the greats to play our game and be in the same clubhouse and watch him do it every day. And he's been an awesome guy in the clubhouse and someone that we've all enjoyed playing with, and glad that he's coming back for another year with us.
Christian, always a pleasure, man. Again, Happy New Year. We'll see you in just a couple of weeks in Jupiter. Thanks again for the time.
You got it, my man. Happy New Year, and see you soon.
Coming up next, you'll again hear from one of the newest Marlins, the sidewinding reliever who's had an extremely successful career. That is Brett Ziegler in 3 minutes on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, brought to you by Geico on 940 Wins, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Back to our best of show this evening. Here is one of the newest Marlins, one of Major League Baseball's quirkiest sidewinding relievers, but boy, is he successful, and we sure are happy to have him as a Miami Marlin in 2017. This is a portion of our conversation with one of the newcomers, Brett Ziegler.
Joining us tonight, one of the newest members of the Marlins, a 9-year big league veteran and a guy that just continues to fool people at the plate when he comes on in relief. It is my pleasure now to welcome on Brad Ziegler, who signed a 2-year deal with the Marlins just before Christmas. Brad, welcome to the show. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for the time tonight. I'm sure that 2-year deal was a nice way to start the holiday season.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year to you as well. Obviously my family and I are pretty excited. There's a lot of great things about the Miami area, and we're excited to get down there and explore them together as a family, but also a good, young, exciting baseball team that we're hoping to be part of the push to help put them over the edge and get this team in the playoffs.
Well, let's start with that free agent process. What led you to the Marlins amongst your decisions that needed to be made and to join this ball club, and what have you seen out of this young group?
They were on me from the start of the winter meetings until the deal got done. They were without question the most persistent team. They even though there were reports of them being interested in other relievers, they said they were very adamant. Look, even if something were to get done with these other guys, don't take that as a fact that we don't want you. We are still still very interested. So they were very adamant that I was a target for them in the offseason. And that was, I kind of likened the free agent process to kind of being recruited to college. And they were very persistent. Like I said, definitely the team that showed the most interest. And because of that, it was easy to build a connection with them and kind of see myself going there, because it's nice to go to a place where you end up, feeling wanted and liked there. as far as the team goes, obviously there's a ton of offensive and defensive talent. Should be a pretty good bullpen. I know the additions they've made in the starting pitching. It's going to be, there's no way to replace Jose for sure. And I know that's going to be a pretty big focal point this year with the attention that it will draw throughout the season. But at the same time, Edison Volquez is a pretty good pitcher. Jeff Locke obviously is a good veteran starter, lefty. They've got other guys. There's enough arms there without question to compete, especially if everybody can take a step forward and kind of go to that next level. And hopefully the rest of the team holds up our end of the bargain, and everything will fall into place.
All right, Brett, 37 years old now. You've appeared in the postseason twice. Let me ask you, as it pertains to your decision to join the Marlins organization, how much does that play in a factor that, yes, I think these guys at this stage of my career give me the best opportunity to win a championship?
That was a big factor. Obviously, there were other contenders. Most of the non-contenders are not going to be interested in a 37-year-old reliever. So there were other contenders that had shown some interest. Ultimately I'm looking at it from a baseball perspective, from a family perspective. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard on me last year to get traded midseason and be away from my family for the rest of the year. They weren't going to move, all the way across country for the last couple months of the season. And with the two young kids, and then, it just would have presented a really big challenge. So, I'm looking at it from the perspective, like, I want to go to a team that's contending so that I won't be traded again. Right. And that's, that was a lot of my thought process going into it is contending team was going to be a deal breaker for me if it came down to, choosing between one team or another. And I definitely felt like this Marlins team is, you look up and down the lineup and, mm-hmm. As an outsider that's played against them a little bit, but just kind of watching a little bit, there's a ton of talent on this team. And it's, you kind of feel like they're all young enough where everybody's ready to kind of take that next step as a group and maybe be the Cleveland Indians of 2017.
Right. Well, you've seen a lot of this league, a very unorthodox delivery. I'm sure folks that have watched you pitch on the mound in relief. What is it that makes you so successful, though?
Having a good defense behind me is a really good start. And, that was obviously, one of the factors when I look at, D at second and Hetchy at short and Martin at third. I played with Martin a little bit in Arizona, and just knowing those three guys, that's the three infielders that they tend to get a lot of action whenever I'm pitching. And if I'm executing, getting my ball down in the zone, they're getting a lot of work. And when you see how good a fielder those guys are and the range that they have, the ground that they cover on the infield, it's exciting to think of getting to play. I've been fortunate enough to play with a bunch of really good defenses behind me in my career, and this athletically, this might be the most talented that I will have played against or played with in my entire career. So looking forward to that possibility for sure.
How much have you had to adapt over the years? You're not a guy that'll overpower people. What do you do to create an edge of sorts, especially in today's day and age when there's so much information and like analytical measures of sorts available?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I've had to evolve a little bit. I've when I first came up, I had a change up that I was pretty comfortable with against lefties, and then I kind of lost it my second and third year in the big leagues, and ended up having to change grips and go to something that was it's actually the same grip now that I used when I was an overhand pitcher prior to converting to submarine. So that's made me a lot more effective against lefties the last couple of years. In addition to that, this last year I started throwing it a lot more to righties and had pretty good success there. So getting that third pitch, and feeling confident to throw any pitch in any count is something even though I had some success as a younger pitcher, I didn't have the confidence to throw any pitch in any count. And now I definitely do. I'm not afraid to throw whatever, whenever, and I'm not afraid to pitch the contact. And, you know, if I give up a hit now and then, that's not a problem for me because a lot of times my thought process is, okay, I'm going to try to get another ground ball and hopefully it's right at our shortstop and we turn two and I'm out of the inning.
Brad Ziegler, one of the newest Marlins, joining us here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight. Brad, your role with the Marlins this season, are you comfortable both closing and setting up? Is that an easy thing for you to do if you were to do one on Tuesday and the next on Wednesday type of deal?
Yeah, I think so. And this is something that Donnie and I talked about a little bit after I signed I really don't care what my role is on the team. I'll be the fifth, sixth inning guy if that's what they want me to do, as long as I kind of have a little bit of a heads up, ahead of time, what my role is going to be that night. Mm-hmm. And that way, the biggest thing for me is, being 37, I can't just, sit cold on the bench for seven innings and then pop up and start firing balls and be ready to go in 45 seconds, like I could whenever I was, 28 and first breaking into the league. So if I have a little time to get loose, stretch, get limbered up a little bit, then at that point, I don't care what my role is. And he told me, he said, that's not going to be a problem. I think he prides himself in communicating with his team and especially with his bullpen and making sure everybody's on the same page before the game starts. So that way, when the phone rings, if you can look down and kind of know when the phone rings, I think it's going to be either this guy or this guy. That's a big deal for a bullpen to kind of have an idea of who it's going to be, instead of all seven or eight guys wondering, is it me? Is it me? And when you can mentally start preparing before the phone even rings, that it really helps as far as just getting ready once you're on the mound. You've already got the mental preparation done. Now you just got to get a little sweat going.
Brad, both yourself and Junichi Tozawa are now Marlins. I know you're obviously very familiar with Tozawa from last year in Boston. For fans that may be wondering, who is this guy? What's he going to bring to the table? Can you shed some light for us as his personality as well as what we'll see on the mound in a game situation?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who, he's pretty low-key, doesn't talk a whole lot. Very nice guy, he's very personable when you do talk to him. At the same time, I think this is it's an awesome trait of a lot of Japanese players that they all keep their emotions in check pretty well. Mm-hmm. I've always, Veritek always talked about that with Daisuke and I see a lot of the same things in Taz, and, he was so solid for the Red Sox for a lot of years. And, I think he just kind of wore down a little bit toward the end of last season. Wasn't getting to pitch a lot, and it was hard for him to kind of stay sharp, when he's only pitching once a week or every 10 days or so. So I think now that he's got a whole off season to kind of, get refreshed, get rejuvenated and come back in and get into a situation where he's going to be used a lot more frequently. I think he's going to thrive, especially, in a good pitcher's park to pitch in like Miami is.
Hey, Brad, on the way out the door here, kind of a two-part question for you. But first and foremost, upon making your decision to come to Miami, how enticing was it to pitch inside the spacious Marlins Park? And on top of that, you spent your entirety of your career in either the American League or the National League West. Do you think making this switch to the National League East and some guys that are not as familiar with you will give you an advantage at all this season?
Maybe for a game or so. I don't, guys, like you mentioned earlier, guys are very in depth with video research and statistical analysis and stuff now. There's not a whole lot you can do to fool guys anymore. I think a lot of it just kind of boils down to execution. So, hopefully I can still keep executing pretty consistently and trust that great defense behind me, and I'll be, I'll feel pretty good about it. And, for the most part, I try not to get too much into thinking about what ballpark I'm in.
Uh-huh.
Ideally, because I'm getting the ball on the ground the majority of the time. And if that's the case, the infield's the same size in every park.
Right.
And so if I do get a ball up in the air, obviously the last two teams I played in Arizona for essentially six seasons, Boston the last 3 months of last season, those are two pretty hitter friendly ballparks.
Right.
And so if you do get the ball up in the air there, it's tough to have good results as a pitcher. Early on in my career in Oakland, I think the ballpark helped me a lot because I was still kind of learning the submarine delivery a little bit and wasn't as effective at getting the ball on the ground as I would like to be. But I was, fortunate in the nighttime in Oakland, the ball doesn't carry a whole lot. So I was fortunate to give up some deep fly balls that in Arizona and Boston might have been, a little different result. That being said, the defense and the infield defense especially, but even the outfield defense is so good with Miami that I feel pretty confident that I'm just going to attack hitters, going to, let them put the ball in play like they always have. And, if I need to get a strikeout, I'll try to go for one. But that's, ideally I'm getting two or three outs in about, 10 pitches or less and using my defense to do it. And this is a really good one behind me.
Brad, welcome to Miami, man. We cannot wait to see you in a Marlins uniform. Thanks so much for the time tonight, and we will see you, and we'll meet you in Jupiter in just a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Coming up next, he's revered as one of the best guys in all of baseball, and he sure was in our conversation last week. AJ Ellis joins us right here on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. We're halfway home this evening on our Best of the Hot Stove Show. Again, keep in mind, this Sunday, 12 to 2, Glenn Geffner and I will join you from the West Plaza at Marlins Park. The following day, Monday, we will be at Crandon Park at Key Biscayne. Jack McKeon's Celebrity Golf Classic taking place. Glenn and I will be back on the air from 10 to 12, so a lot to look forward to this week. Fan Fest at Marlins Park. 12 to 4, Saturday and Sunday, autograph sessions. It'll be an absolute blast. Get yourself single-game tickets, not only for the regular season, but for the World Baseball Classic as well. So we invite you out, free to the public, 12 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. Back to our Best of Show this evening. Here is our conversation with one of the newest Marlins. He is revered as one of the best guys in all of baseball. He's had an extremely successful career. His best friend, Clayton Kershaw. What's that tell you? This is A.J. Ellis, who will catch for the Marlins in 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. First, Kyle, thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be talking with you. I'm looking forward to getting to know you throughout the year and getting ready to know your great fans that the Miami Marlins have. So looking forward to being a Marlin. But, this winter, when my agents and I sat down, we started looking at teams that might be interested, a good fit for my family and myself. Miami was a team that called early. Was interested from the get-go, and that's a good feeling when you have teams that are interested in you, and then a team like Miami, who's got the relationships and the connections that I was able to forge in the past when I was in Los Angeles. Starts at the top with Don Mattingly, the manager I had in Los Angeles, and now with Miami, obviously. Tim Wallace, bench coach. Lorenzo Bundy, the outfield coach. Dee Gordon, second baseman, is a great friend of mine. He's been so good to me and my family. Somebody we've always been huge fans of, so just those relationships just really made it feel like home, make it feel like it was the right place to be. And as we kind of chatted around and talked with other teams, the Marlins just kind of stayed at the front of our minds the entire process. And as it got down to it and the decision was needed to be made, it was easy for my agents and I to decide that for my family, for myself, for a chance to win, a chance to go to the playoffs, Miami was the place for us.
As it pertains to you coming to Miami, AJ, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you alluded to it a little bit. How important was it to have familiarity with Tim Wallach, Don Mattingly, Dee Gordon? How big of a decision and how much of a factor did that play into your decision?
Well, it was absolutely the separator. Just the relationships I formed with those guys. I had Donnie first for 3 years as a hitting coach in Los Angeles, and then he transitioned to become my manager there my last 5 years there. Tim Wallach was a guy who was taught me so much about the game of baseball. First, as a AAA manager, I had in Albuquerque with our AAA affiliate there. Had him for two seasons in there, and then he transitioned to the major league staff as a third base coach originally, and then to the bench coach. And then finally, Lorenzo Bundy, a guy who I got to play for first way back in 2008 in Las Vegas, the AAA team there. And then later in Albuquerque when he came back to the organization, and then he went up to the major league staff as well. So three great men, three great baseball men, people who I've got to know well, know their families well. They know my family extremely well. That familiarity was like I said, the huge separator. Knowing what I'm going to be walking into, the expectations that they have for me, what my role is on the team, it's the conversations and those expectations are laid out very easily. And I know what my mission is coming to the Marlins, and I know what I'm there to do. I know who I'm there to work for, and we all have the common goal. We had unfinished business in Los Angeles all together. We knocked on the door quite a few times together trying to win that championship. And I'm excited to take another run with these same guys here in Miami.
Before I ask you what you see out of this current ball club, and obviously, again, a factor playing into your decision was the ability for these guys to win, and certainly you guys hope to play deep into October this season. You played a lot of years in Los Angeles, and not many of us here on the East Coast could stay up for those late nights and watch A.J. Ellis play baseball. So for fans wondering what we're getting out of A.J. Ellis this season, could you describe for us the type of player you are and what we can expect?
Well, you know, the greatest compliment I ever received in my playing career, was from my Double-A manager. At the end of the season, we fought, and we made it to the playoffs in Double-A. This was a long time ago, back in 2006, 2007. But he pulled me in the office and said, "AJ, I'm going to tell you something about you that I don't know if you know or not, but there's a way we describe baseball players in meetings behind closed doors. And the way that I will describe you now and forever is you're a winning ball player." To me, that was the ultimate compliment. That's my goal as a player. I want to be known as a winning ball player. May not look the prettiest, may not have the greatest stat line, but at the end of the day, I'm there to help my team win a game. I'm there to help my pitcher get through tough spots. I'm there to make the right decisions behind the plate, call the right pitches, maintain the pace of the game, know when the pitcher needs a break and they need to go out there, communicate with him throughout the course of the game. I've said multiple times, I'll take an 0-for-4 or 4 strikeouts at the plate as long as it means I'm shaking hands at the end of the game with my teammates behind the pitcher's mound, we've won the game. Because you play this game so long, and you're not that Hall of Fame type, all-star type player, what matters to you is winning and winning games and winning, the opportunity to win a championship. And so definitely at this stage in my career, as it's been my entire career, that's what drives me. So to be known as a winning ball player, a guy a manager can trust and help his team win, that's what's most important to me.
One of the newest Marlins, A.J. Ellis, joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show this season. Okay, A.J., let's chat about this current Marlins ball club and the one that you'll be stepping into this clubhouse to meet these guys. Let's get your perspective. It's unique. You've seen this ball club for many years now. I'm sure it was a factor in your decision and the ability to win, but I'll open it up for you a little bit here. What do you see out of this ball club? You've seen them for quite some years now and some of the youth that's here.
Yeah, this team is ready. This team's ready, knocking on the door. It's right there. Right there at their doorstep. It's the talent amongst the position players is as good as anywhere in baseball. You're starting to see these guys straight take strides. The whole lineup, top to bottom, the depth that there is there, the quality of player, the athleticism is off the charts. Starting with D at the top of the lineup, watching Christian Yelich make strides as a hitter and becoming that all-star caliber hitter that we saw as a rookie and seeing him put it all together is scary. And as a catcher, I'm excited to be on this team and not have to figure out a way to get him out because the strides he's made as a hitter. And then you get Big G up there and say keep him healthy all year long. The threat that he is, and another guy from being on the other side, just the presence he has, even when if he's not feeling great swinging the bat, just knowing that if you make one mistake, the game changes with his power and his foul line power that can just change a game with one swing. So the lineup is deep, and then most importantly for me and what I'm stepping into, to be able to work with a catcher like JT Realmuto.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to get to know him, get to work with him. Been a fan of his, like you said, from across the coast. Last year when I got to Philly, I got a chance to kind of chat with him a little bit around the batting cage, see what a great man he is. Talk about Tim Wallach and Donnie about his growth and what they see in him. And from early on, even last spring training, text messaging with Tim, telling me he's an all-star caliber catcher and he's going to grow into that role. So I'm excited to get with JT, kind of be there for him in any way he needs. You know, somebody who can, you know, help him with anything he needs, you know, mentally, physically, anything, any tricks I can show him from my years of experience, and just kind of partner with him and mainly watch him go out there and take over the leadership role on this team and become that all-star caliber catcher that he is.
AJ, you're going to report to Jupiter on February 14th, and you're going to inherit a staff that you've never worked with before. I guess maybe you worked with Severino Gonzalez at the end of last season, but regardless, 99% of this roster is going to be new and unfamiliar territory from a catching perspective to a pitching perspective for you. So can you take us through the grueling spring that it'll be and the amount of homework that you're going to have to do to build relationships with this staff in the bullpen?
Yeah, he used the word grueling. I'm actually excited about it. I think it's great. It's what baseball is based on. It's what spring training is all about. Even when you're somewhere that you've been for years, there's always going to be turnover. There's always going to be new guys coming in. I can still remember the day Zach Greinke walked into that Dodger clubhouse, and the excitement I had to get to spend a spring training, getting to work with him as we grew our relationship into the season. And I'm looking forward to working with Tom Kohler and Jeff Locke and Dustin McGowan and you know, name after name of guys, you know, that I'm going to spend time getting to know, getting to build that relationship with, see what makes them work, sit down with them in front of a computer, look at video, and just start that dialogue. And then most importantly, get out there on the bullpen mounds, get out there in the spring training games, and just build that rapport, build that relationship, and get feedback both ways. And it's something that I relish. It's one of my favorite parts of the job is that pitcher-catcher relationship, because I know what a difference it can make in building a championship caliber team. You know, the pitching dynamic is what separates most teams. The teams that can throw strikes, command the strike zone, the teams that can dial it up and get a big strikeout with a runner on third base and one out. Those are the teams that change momentum and win a lot of games.
Just a couple more questions on the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight from one of the newest Marlins and the catcher here in Miami this season, AJ Ellis. It'll be AJ and JT Realmuto with the catching duties in Miami at Marlins Park this season for 162 games. AJ, just a couple more questions for you. You've been in the league since 2008, and I know this question can go a little bit deeper, but what's the thing you've really learned about yourself in Major League Baseball and what it takes to succeed at this level?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it's consistency. It's not just consistency of play. It's consistency of work ethic, discipline, the way you carry yourself, consistency of character, the way you go about your business on a day in, day out basis. And fortunate for me, I've gotten to learn from so many great veteran players over the years. You know, I've gotten to learn from guys like Michael Young, Skip Schumacher, Nick Punto, a guy who's familiar to Marlins fans, Juan Pierre. Mm-hmm. These are guys who I've gotten to learn from, the way that they went about their business, that they went about things. And then a guy that, you know, my closest friend in baseball, Clayton Kershaw. Everybody wants to talk about how great he is and how hard he works, which is all true, but what separates Clayton is how consistent he works. The guy does not skip. The guy does not miss a day. He is as consistent and diligent of workers I've ever seen. And that's hopefully rubbed off me to some degree. Hopefully that's something that I can impart on players that I play with now and in the future, just what it takes to succeed and stick around this game. Because one thing I learned from an early age, too, coming up in the minor leagues, was as extremely difficult it is to make the major leagues, it's even harder to stay in the major leagues. And it's that discipline and that consistency is what separates most players.
AJ, on the way out the door here, strictly from a catching perspective, how different will you call a game inside the spacious, you could say, Marlins Park this season, as opposed when you go to a place like Philadelphia?
Yeah, no doubt. Using the field to your advantage, it's, you know, always using those conditions, you know, trying to put a ball on the ground when you're in a place like up in Philadelphia or in Coors Field, working the bottom of the strike zone more, maybe using a little more changeup in certain counts than you would maybe breaking ball to the tendency of that pitch to stay up in the air and be more of an elevated pitch. So, you know, when you're in Marlins Park, you want to use the opposite field to your advantage. You want to make guys beat you in the air the other way. Not too many players can really do that anymore. Fortunately, there's a couple guys on the Marlins team that can do it for us. But for the majority of the league, most of the damage comes on that pole side. So making guys use the big part of the field, really, you know, staying in vantage counts, putting guys on the defensive when you're in a big park, when you're in any park mainly, though, you want to keep the count in your advantage. So getting strike one on everybody you can, taking advantage, avoiding 2-0, 3-1 counts, avoiding putting free base runners on base. These are all things that kind of play into the formula And using Marlins Park to our advantage will definitely be something that's talked about and we're aware of as we get to the season.
AJ, it has been an absolute pleasure, man. We can't thank you enough for the time tonight. Enjoy the last few weeks of your off season, and we will see you in Jupiter in just a couple of weeks. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Look forward to seeing you guys.
Just a terrific guy. A great interview. And again, we thank AJ Ellis for joining us last week, and we look forward to getting to know him much better as the 2017 season rolls along. Last break for you. Coming up next, one of the newest Marlins on television, a former Marlin. You know him. He was a world champion in 2003. Todd Hollinsworth. That conversation in 3 minutes right here on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Wins. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight on 940 Wins. As always, brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. I'm Kyle Seeloff with you from inside the 940 Wins Miami Sports Studios this evening. And as we wrap things up, we've got one more interview for you. But again, just to hammer it home, folks, Saturday and Sunday, this Saturday and Sunday, 12 to 4, Marlins Park. It's the annual Fan Fest. All your favorite players and alumni will be there. We're going to have radio broadcasts. Television personalities are going to be there. Get yourself single game tickets for the regular season, the World Baseball Classic. Bring the family out. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's free. So we invite you to join us. We always look forward to it. So please, again, 12 to 4, Saturday and Sunday, the annual Marlins Fan Fest at Marlins Park. Let's wrap things up this evening. This is our last Best Of conversation tonight. This is one of the newest Marlins on television, Fox Sports Florida in 2017. He's a world champion here in Miami back in 2003, most recently with the Chicago Cubs. This is Mr. Todd Hollinsworth. All right, folks, chatting this evening, the long-awaited and anticipated debut of the newest Fox Sports Florida analyst, 162 games on your television. This upcoming season, a former Marlin, a World Series champion, most recently part of the Chicago Cubs teleclast. Please welcome Mr. Todd Hollinsworth to the program. Todd, first and foremost, thank you so much for the time. We're extremely excited to have you down here in South Florida this season. And I guess, welcome home, right? This has got to be really exciting for you and the family.
Absolutely. Very, very excited to be back in South Florida. It was a very, very memorable 1 year that we were there in 2003. And as Marcy and I, my wife and my four children had said, I mean, we couldn't have been more excited to get this opportunity to be back with the Marlins, to be back with Fox in South Florida. Very, very excited to be part of this franchise and a very, very, I'll even say a little bit under the radar, exciting team in the National League.
Well, before we chat a lot of baseball, I'm going to go a lot of different directions with you. Let's start with this job in particular. Share with us as much as you're willing to how this kind of came about. Obviously, you were doing a lot of work for the Chicago Cubs, but how did this opportunity come about for you?
Well, you know, in this industry, it's a great question. I told many people kind of getting into the booth, which has always kind of been a goal of mine. I've been doing this for about almost a decade since I retired in 06. And have been obviously here with the Chicago Cubs in Chicago, raising my family here. My wife is from the area, and so home became Chicago. My kids growing up here, part of the Cubs organization, doing pre and post game, and then working in MLB Network Radio has been just a true blessing for me. It's helped me polish my skills in broadcasting and radio and TV, and it's a lot of legwork, and I kind of appreciated the effort behind it, but I'd always wanted to be in the booth. I wanted the ability to call the game, to be close to the game, to be in the game every day. And I've just been waiting for my opportunity. And the thing that's so interesting about it is I tell my wife all the time, it was easier getting to the big leagues, it seems. 880 jobs at the big league level, right? So there's more jobs. There's only 30 of these jobs. So I have just kind of been waiting my time and putting my name in and hoping that one of my former teams would pop open, a spot would pop open, and that I would be able to maybe jump in and land that opportunity. And the opportunity presented itself with the Marlins. I couldn't be happier. I'm very, very excited. In fact, we are in the process of moving to South Florida. This is not, I'm coming to, be part of the Marlins for the season, right? And then, running back home. Home is going to be South Florida for us. We are going to become Floridians and South Floridians, and we're very, very excited to do that, getting the kids in school and everything else that goes along with that.
Todd Hollinsworth joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show this evening. You mentioned the world of broadcasting and broadcasting baseball can be, do you believe, a little bit more difficult than even making it to the big leagues. From the side of broadcasting itself, how difficult have you found it to be in a side of the game that people love? And if you're very, very good at it, it's incredible to listen to somebody. How difficult has it been for you?
Well, it hasn't been terribly difficult because I love baseball in general, and I love the players, and I love the game, and I think that's it. I think sometimes, you know, what ends up happening, what can happen to individuals is that, you know, in a lot of ways always comes back to our own life's experiences. And for me personally, I had so many ups and downs and so many great things happened to me, and obviously some difficult roads that I had to go through, including one with the Marlins. And, you know, I signed on with the Marlins in 03 to be a starter, lost my job, and had to become a great reserve. I mean, that was what my calling was that year, if you will. You know, understanding the game and understanding how it works and just how difficult it is to be great at this game day in and day out is something that I just had such an appreciation for my 12 years in the game and understanding that. But the ability to relate to the players today as they go through this. I mean, you almost look at the offense in the game today. It's amazing. You know, you have so many players. You see it now. Power is big. It's all of a sudden it's back. Everybody's doing it. But then, you know, what's being coveted? Well, you know, the you know maybe the five tool players are a little bit harder to find right now. I mean, it's just so amazing to me. And, you know, transitioning that into a broadcast is not hard for me to do. I love talking the game of baseball. In fact, most people tell me to shut up. I usually get honestly tired of me talking. It's what ends up happening. I get so excited and so passionate that, you know, just about talking about the game and how the game's growing and evolving and becoming what it's becoming. I'm very proud of the work that I've done behind the scenes. And I will say this, the work over at MLB Network Radio has been an incredible blessing because my responsibility has been 30 teams for the last 6 years. Understanding organizations inside and out is never an easy thing to do. 30 teams, I mean, it's taken so much work from behind the scenes, but I've got this knowledge in my head of, you know, kind of how teams work and how these general managers like to operate and think. In fact, my partner at MLB Network Radio was a former general manager. So just so much of this game I love, and, you know, it kind of comes out in who I am. And like I said, I'm sure Rich is going to give me a few elbows during the course of the year. It said, time to be quiet now.
The newest member of the Fox Sports Florida broadcast team, Todd Hollinsworth, a former Marlin, a World Series champion, joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Oh, okay, Todd, let's chat about this Marlins team heading into 2017. Obviously, unforeseen circumstances at the end of the 2016 season with the passing of Jose Fernandez. This is very, very open-ended. Obviously, the Marlins are trying to rebuild this starting rotation. I think they've done a very, very nice job in that regard. Let me just open this up for you. What do you see out of this ball club, whether it's offensively, defensively, the pitching staff, the bullpen? What do you see heading into 2017?
I see a really good team. I mean, this is a team that was 79-82 last year, and, you know, in some ways floats a little bit below the radar, which is typical because of, you know, the division that they're in and the teams that they've also got in that division. You got a team from New York that everybody always wants to talk about. You've got, you know, the Washington Nationals are certainly improving, and it's going to be a tough division, but I like this Marlins team. Here's why. They've got so many bits of evidence that show you of what they can be, and it almost feels to me that it's the conversation of confidence. Remember I talked about us in 03, how we were a different team in April and May than where we were maybe at the end of the year, and how our confidence, and we really started to believe in who we were and what our identity was going to be. Once this team realizes its identity and how good they really can be, the sky's the limit. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, I look at this bullpen, the acquisitions that they've been, you know, bringing in Ziegler, bringing in Tozawa. I mean, this is going to be a deep bullpen. The rotation, obviously you've got to absorb the passing of Jose Fernandez. That's never going to be easy. But, I mean, there's just so much evidence everywhere you look. Like, take, for example, the offense. This is a team that was second in the National League in batting average. What does that tell you? These guys know how to hit. They know how to put the ball in play. They know how to create offense. They can hit good. They can hit, you know, some of the lower guys in the rotation, they can score some runs. But the problem that you have is that it didn't translate as well as you would think it would. I mean, for a team that was second in the National League in batting average, 13th in runs scored and 14th in home runs, that doesn't add up. See, so there's something there. And in a lot of what that is, it's confidence. It's just believing that when you're putting guys in position to score runs, that you're going to score runs and that you're going to come through in those situations. So there is so much evidence, I think, right there on the top of the surface, whether it's in depth in the bullpen, whether it's in innings eaters in the rotation, that tell you that this team can absolutely compete with just about anybody in the National League. And if a few things go their way, they could be really, really good. But for me, you know, it is a little cliche, and I certainly don't want to throw it out, you know, already. But, you know, you look at the team and think, if they get off to a good start and that confidence starts to blossom early, be a real, real exciting year. Everybody says that. Everybody always. That's a message. Managers say it to you. The first thing, let's get off to a great start. It's what we want to do. Everybody says it, but I look at this group and I think, you know, it's a really extra special dose of this. If they get, you know, have a fantastic April and they realize how good they can be, I think it could be a special year.
I think you can provide some interesting insight on the following front, Todd. You were a member of a world championship team yourself in 03, and most recently this past season, the Cubs end their drought, and you had an opportunity to be in that clubhouse around that group of guys. What does it take to win a World Series? Obviously, you have to have talent, and if you put 25 guys that are the caliber of Babe Ruth out there, it's going to go a long way. But from what I saw from the outside, the Chicago Cubs had a ton of fun. They were very, very talented. What does it take to get there? It goes so much past those nine innings every night, doesn't it?
It's a belief. It's absolutely a belief. It's exactly what we were in 03. It's exactly what this 2016 Cubs team was that I witnessed every day. Great group of guys, good group of kids. Young, just like the Marlins, easily as young, so many young players, young and talented. Good rotation. Obviously, the pitching is what probably gets talked about the most. They had great starting pitching, good bullpen. But the belief that they belonged. I mean, I take back what Joe Maddon did in 2015. Moment about halfway through that season, the Cardinals and the Cubs were kind of getting on each other's nerves just a little bit. Things were getting really, really testy. And I'll never forget the post-game press conference. Joe, you know, basically kind of, I don't want to say called out the Cubs players, but basically just put them on point. If we're going to be a World Series team, we're going to stop basically being afraid of the Cardinals. That's just it. We're going to go in there. We're going to play our game. We're going to play our brand of baseball and realize that we're on the same, you know, field that they're on and that we belong. And he talked about those steps. That's that exact confidence I'm talking about with this Marlins group. When they believe and they know they belong on any field with anybody, they're going to realize how talented they are, and they're going to win a lot more than they're going to lose. And that's when you really start to understand that you're a great team, that you've got a chance to win. You're absolutely right about the talent. The talent is so important. But hasn't a World Series winner over the last 10 to 15 years proven to us that you don't have to have the most talented team in baseball? Sometimes it can be a Madison Bumgarner, you know, heroic moment. I mean, it can be all sorts of different individuals in different ways that can turn a team into a championship winner. And I look at this Marlins team and think they've got enough guys, I mean, to get this thing done. I really do believe if their confidence starts to blossom and they start to play well, that they could easily be one of the top five teams in the National League.
Todd Hollinsworth, first and foremost, thank you so much for the time. You've been incredibly generous and gracious with your time. Again, welcome back home to South Florida. We cannot wait to get going in spring training in Jupiter and obviously the start of the 2017 season. Again, thank you so much for the time, Todd, and safe travels moving you and the family down here soon.
Thanks so much, Kyle. Absolutely a blast to join you. Look forward to it. And, yeah, get through these tough times here, and we'll be down there real soon.
Well, another terrific interview tonight, Todd Hollinsworth. We thank him for the time, and you're going to see him a lot, 150-plus times on Fox Sports Florida down here in South Florida this season. A wonderful guy, a wealth of baseball knowledge, so it'll be a lot of fun to listen to him and Rich Waltz as we get going here in 2017. Folks, that's going to do it for us tonight. Again, make sure you join us this Sunday, 12 to 2 from Marlins Park. Glenn Geffner and I will join you from the West Plaza, 12 to 4 both Saturday and Sunday. It's the annual Marlins Fan Fest. We can't wait to see you. It's free to the public. Come out and join us. Meet all the players. Don Mattingly will be there. Some of our best alumni will be there. And we thank you for coming out and supporting the Marlins. I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long from the 940 Winds Miami Sports Studios in the Marlins Radio Network Studios. We'll see you on Sunday, 12 to 2 at Marlins Park from the West Plaza right here on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Winds.